story that took place a few years ago. It was splashed right across the newspapers in America. There was a prominent politician, a young girl. Being who he was, he managed to put together a million-dollar defense team. And the pundits predicted that the state would end up looking foolish. The prosecutor was a young, just graduated law school. The prosecutor begins and paints a sympathetic picture of the victim, a girl who never fulfilled her potential. This man snuffed out a promising young man. And the defense pulls up a picture of a devoted public servant who has always been there to aid his constitutions, a good man with a good record. And as the case proceeds, witnesses step up one by one, and the prosecutor tries to build his case. And the defense, he doesn't seem to be doing his job. And the spectators are wondering what exactly he's doing to earn his million-dollar fee. And the accused is even more baffled. Finally, the judge calls for the closing arguments, and the prosecutor gets up and he says, although the body has never been found, the witnesses have proven beyond a reasonable doubt, it's clear that he is the one who has killed her, and therefore the jury ask you to find him guilty. And then it's the turn of the defense, and he gets up and he says, look, it may seem to some of you as though I've lost my touch, but why should I defend a man whose innocence is going to, that can be so easily proven? And he says, a week ago, just before the case started, I received a phone call from Mexico. And the proposed victim, the girl, called me up. And she said to me that I hear that this man is being accused of killing me. She says, I ran away to Mexico. I wanted to get away from my parents. But I'm not going to allow an innocent man to be killed. And therefore, don't worry, I'm going to be there by the end of the... And don't worry, she called me up today, he says, during the break. And at 4 o'clock, she's going to be walking in. And you can imagine the buzz going on there in the courtroom, the drama unfolding there. Comes 4 o'clock, the judge says, no problem, we'll give you to 4 o'clock. Comes 4 o'clock, nothing happens. 4:15, 4:30, the door opens. Everybody stands up, everybody's looking at the door, wondering who's walking in. No, it's only a court stenographer, nothing exciting. 4:45, 4:45, the judge says, time up. Either you give your summation, otherwise I'm sending the jury out. So the defense gets up, and the defense says, listen, the law in America is, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, the law in America is that to find a man guilty has to be proven beyond reasonable doubt. You've all been sitting here the last 3/4 of an hour, the last hour, waiting for this girl to walk in. If you're so convinced she's dead, then what's been going on? And you can imagine if until then everybody's on their feet. Brilliant defense. Anyway, with that, the judge sends out the jury. 5 minutes later, in comes the jury. The foreman hands the piece of paper to the judge, and the judge calls out, guilty as accused. And everybody's on their feet. And the person who's wondering most of all what's going on is the lawyer. What happened to his defense? And he goes up to the foreman, and the foreman tells him, speak to that woman in the jury. He goes up to that woman in the jury, and the woman says, look, there's one man in here who would have known if that girl can walk in. And that is the accused. And she said, I watched him for that 3/4 of an hour. And not once did he budge, not once did he turn around. When everybody else, when it came 4:30 and the door opened and the stenographer walked in, everybody was on their feet wondering who's walking in. He just stood there. He just sat there facing your head. He knew. He's the only one that would really know if someone could walk in. He must have known that she can't walk in. Therefore, when the lawyer later visited his client in jail, so the lawyer said to his client, had you just turned around, had you just done that one little movement, you wouldn't have been here. And this is a mashal for Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah, we can have the very best defense. We've got... Rosh Hashanah is a time with wonderful segulis. We've got Shefa, we've got Malchus, we've got the Avodah Sayyim, which is wonderful. But we've got to do our bit to take part for that to work. So let's begin with a question. It's well known that throughout the generations there was a big, big pachad of Elul. Rabbi Yisrael goes so far to say that when people would hear the word Elul, they would faint. Rabbi Shlomo Shnadron mentions that when a yeshiva bacha and yeshiva smei wanted to describe the shells and the bombs going off in the Russian-Japan war, the way he described it was almost as scary as Ne'ilah. That's how people looked at these times. Reb Dessler goes so far, Reb Dessler says, that it's well known from Reb Dessler that there's such a thing as a Nekudas HaBechira. That means none of us suddenly have a Yetzirah to go and be Bechal HaShabbos, or to go and kill someone. Yet most of us, or all of us, don't either have a Yetzirah to suddenly go and start learning 22 out of 24 hours of fasting every day of the week. All our Nisyonos are somewhere in between. He says that sometimes, a Nisayon, there's sometimes a Bechira, sometimes a choice, which encompasses much more. His example is, if you have a teenage boy who's just finished school, and that teenage boy who's just finished school now has to decide, is he going to go to yeshiva, or is he going to go straight to university, to college? Says Reb Dessler, that decision is not just deciding that those few years, is he going to be sitting and learning in yeshiva? Because if he goes to yeshiva, then that spiritual basis that he'll receive in yeshiva, that will give him a completely different spiritual dimension throughout his life. Therefore, that choice is an all-encompassing choice. It's a game-changer. Says Reb Dessler, every single Rosh Hashanah is also like that. I'll give you another example. There was Hyman Brown. Hyman Brown was an engineer. He was an architect. And he reached the zenith of his career, yet when he got the opportunity of a lifetime to place him at the forefront of the architectural universe, when he was given the job of designing the World Trade Center, 7 buildings, which the Twin Towers, as they climax, the tallest buildings in the world, symbolizing American superiority, the epicenter of world finance. In 1973, the buildings opened, and he was put on a fast track of many other mammoth building projects. Until 9/11/2001, 9/11 came, and the invincible towers came tumbling down in a twisted heap of metal and ash, killing thousands, terrifying millions. The indestructible had been destroyed. Finally, one journalist decided he's going to find out, he's going to interview the architect behind this. And he found Hyman Brown living in Israel. And Hyman Brown told him his life story. He said, look, I learned by the great masters, by the most celebrated building designers in the world. When I was a young student in Hebrew school, I learned about God's divine creation. When I built my projects, I always felt as though I visualized myself as playing God through these projects, through these mammoth building projects. He says, in one small moment when two planes came into the Twin Towers, at that moment, in one small split second, I came to the understanding and recognition of how small I am and how powerful God is. When one has a big hesaurus, then one either takes that thesaurus and it can change one's life, or one can fall completely. With that, Reb Dessler explains, the Gemara says that the din of Rosh Hashanah, it decides a person's life, and during the rest of the year, it doesn't change. It can go up or down, and Reb Dessler explains it, I don't have time to go completely into it, but the din of a person, that is, even if a person then goes and he steigs amazingly, and he starts doing wonderful things, his din will remain, and Reb Dessler wants to know why. Says Reb Dessler, because Rosh Hashanah, you'll never have such a thesaurus like Rosh Hashanah. And therefore, the change that you can make on Rosh Hashanah, you'll never have that opportunity during the course of the year. And if so, the question is, how is it that the Torah tells us that when it comes to Rosh Hashanah, we cut our nails, we trim, we have a haircut, we put on our best clothes, we eat, we drink, what's going on here? We should be petrified. How can we do all of this? And the answer is, there's a Brisker Rav, which Rav Shach said over by the Hesped of the Brisker Rav. The Brisker Rav was Nifta on Motzei Yom Kippur, and Rav Shach said, I came into the Brisker Rav a few weeks earlier, and I said over to him this tool, to give him some chizuk. He was going to die. It was his last illness, but I wanted to give him some chizuk, and I told him over this tool, about how we're batuach. The tool says that we're batuach, we're convinced, we know, and we have bitachon that Ribbono Shel Olam is going to do a nes for us. And he said over this tool to the Brisker Rav, and the Brisker Rav said to him as follows. The Brisker Rav said to him that there's a piyut called Keser Malchus from Reb Shlomo Ibn Gabriel, and there the piyut says as follows. I cling to the Ribbono Shel Olam if the Ribbono Shel Olam was going to look for my avirus. Says the piyut the following words. Evrach mimcho, I'll run away from you, eilecho to you. And I'll be covered in your shade from your anger. And the question is, what does that mean? If you're running, are you running away from the Ribbono Shel Olam, or are you running to the Ribbono Shel Olam? What do these words mean? I'm going to run away from you to you. And so too, he brings the lashon of the Rambam in Pirush Mishnayos. He also says when he describes these days, mivrach umonis elov. Mivrach means to run away. Umonis elov, running to him. Are you running from the Ribbono Shel Olam or to the Ribbono Shel Olam? Says the Brisker Rav, because we're talking. Bitochen is that one knows what the seriousness of the situation is. If one just has blinkers, and one's going walking around blindfolded, and one doesn't recognize the situation, that's not bitachon. Then you're just convinced that there's no problem at all. But if one understands that there's a seriousness here, one understands it, and nevertheless one has bitachon. If one realizes that one has to run away from the Ribbono Shel Olam, but then he realizes that the only thing to do about the situation is to run to the Ribbono Shel Olam, that is bitachon. However, I heard from Rabbi Avraham Ehrentreu, it goes deeper. The Mishnah in Abbas, the last of the Mem Ches Kinyane Torah, is a Oymedova B'Shem Omri. Someone who says something in the name of the person he heard it from, then that person is maybe Ge'ula L'Olam, he brings salvation to the world. Now the Maharal and the Chassid Yaivetz, they both learn that that doesn't mean that through saying something in the name of someone, you bring a Ge'ula to the world. Rather, they explain that when there's meant to be a Yeshua, when there's meant to be a salvation, then the salvation will come through this person. There's a story in Nach. Gidon came to wage war with Midian. He had with him 32,000 soldiers. And the Ribbono Shel Olam tells him, it's too many. And so he said, anyone that's scared should disappear, and 22,000 disappeared. The Ribbono Shel Olam told him, it's still too many. And so he made the siman, anyone who went to the river and got on their knees, so that was a siman that they had served Avodah Zarah, and they were sent over until they were left with 300 people. Asked the Maharal, why on earth, what's the difference? There was anyway going to be here a tremendous mess. Because the amount of the soldiers of Midian, the Pasuk tells us, ain't misapot. They were innumerable. Like the sand on the seashore. So if so, there's anyway going to be a massiveness. So what's it all about? Who cares how many there are? The answer is, it lies in the Pasuk there, in Pasuk Beis, because the Pasuk says, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam says that he doesn't want Klal Yisrael, Yispor Leimoy, perhaps Klal Yisrael, they'll become proud and they'll say it was us that did it. For, says the Maharal, for a nes to happen, for salvation to come, the Ribbono Shel Olam, when he brings the salvation, he wants us to realize that the salvation is from him. And he wants us to recognize and thank him afterwards. And therefore, says the Maharal, if someone takes credit for something that isn't his, when he hears a good vault and he says it over, he says it as though it's his own, so then such a person, when the salvation comes, he'll also say it over that it's not from the Ribbono Shel Olam. He also won't be mesyachasit to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Someone who, when he hears a good vault, he says it over in the name of the person that he hears it from, so then when a salvation comes and a Yeshua comes, he'll say, oh, this was the Ribbono Shel Olam. If so, that person, he can be the one who will bring the Yeshua, because Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't have to worry that he'll go and say it over b'shem somebody else. This is what we say really in the first Svicha, in the first Pizman. We say, Zoichalim v'ruyadim v'yem panecha. We tremble, we quake from the day of your coming. Chonim kemav kiro me'evras mas'echa. Like a woman who's going to give birth for the first time. Tinufa mecheinal. We ask Ribbono Shel Olam to get rid of our virus. And we finish off with the words, v'yoyidu panecha. And we'll thank you for your plois. We'll thank you for your nisim. What the Pizman is telling us is, v'yoyidu pilecha, if it's going to finish off with v'yoyidu pilecha, that we'll take a thank the Ribbono Shel Olam, then we can ask for tinufa mecheinol, to be zoicha. If we want that tinufa mecheinol, the Ribbono Shel get rid of our virus, that's only if we finish off v'yoyidu pilecha afterwards that will come to the recognition of that it was the Ribbono Shel Olam that saved us. So that is the reason how we can, even though we have to tremble, we have to fear the Yom HaDin, because it's only through that, if we realize the severity of the situation, that we can afterwards realize the nes that took place, and the Yeshua that took place, and we'll thank the Ribbono Shel Olam for it, and then the Ribbono Shel Olam will do for us that nes. But let's understand a bit more, what is the nes, and what exactly are we being judged upon? The Das Tevunas, the Sefer Das Tevunas, the Ramchal and Meshach Haim Lutzato, he speaks through as follows. From Adam Arishan, throughout the generations, until Yomais HaMashiach, the purpose of the world is to bring out one thing, Yichud Hashem. Other items, he explains, Gevurah and Chochmah, all these things we can't be masik. Any understanding won't be a full and complete and true understanding. Only Yichud Hashem is something we can and must delve into and reach a complete understanding. As this is something that is apparent throughout the generations, it is something that we have to be completely clear, without any doubt. As the Pasuk says, V'yodatu hayem v'ashivoysu alav avecha, ki Hashem hu alekim, in oid mulvade. And this is something, V'yodatu hayem v'ashivoysu alav avecha. It's something that you have to delve into and look into and make it part of you. That the only melech, the only king, the only metzias, the only koyach, the only power, the only person in charge, the one who controls everything, absolute everything, is the Ribbono Shel Olam Yichud Hashem. As the Pasuk says in the end of next week's Parashas Hazinu, we know the Shira, that tells us everything that took place, everything that takes place in the world is merubas in Parashas Hazinu. And after everything that's happened, throughout all the generations, how does the Parshas Hazinu finish off? It finishes off, Ru'u ato, see now, ki ani anihu, I am the one. The Ein Elokim Modi, there's nobody else. Because that is the purpose of the whole creation, to bring out this point, the Ein Oid Mulvado, the Ribbono Shel Olam, Yichud Hashem. The ultimate purpose is Yichud Hashem. What does Yichud Hashem mean? It means that the Ribbono Shel Olam is singular. He's an Echot, he's Yochid, and Meyuchot. Nothing can prevent him from doing anything he wants, in any form or fashion. He rules over absolutely everything. He created everything, as it says, Yotzi Oyra Vayachayshach, Oysa Shalom Avayra, Ani Hashem Oysa Kalele. The Ribbono Shel Olam is the one who created absolutely everything. There's no other power, nothing happens without him wanting it, doing it, and arranging it. Hashkocha Protis, he decides absolutely everything. Nothing moves or budges. Ein Oyd Mulvad. And the Das Tunas carries on, and he says that really this purpose of creation could have come out in one day. Adam HaRishon, has he realized that Ra, the bad, which the Nesoyin which he had he realized that that's there, just there to cover over Yichud Hashem, and had he recognized Yichud Hashem through the Ra, then the world would have come to its completion on that very one day. Because Adam HaRishon did not recognize that, therefore the world has to come to its Tachlis over 6,000 years. So what the Das Tavonis is telling us is that the Tachlis HaBriya, everything goes around one thing. And that is Yichud Hashem. The whole world, everything happening in the world, is to bring out Yichud Hashem, to bring out this point, the Ein Oyd Mulvado. If that's true, and we know that Rosh Hashanah, as the Avodram brings from Reb Sadi Gaon, the reason of Tekiyah Shofar, we're blowing because this is the day that the Ribbono Shel Olam created the world, and therefore this is the day that the Ribbono Shel Olam is reinstating his kingdom. Rosh Hashanah is the day that the king of the world, this is the day he created him, he became king of creation. When this day comes around again, and we are crowning Hashem as our king, what is Hashem judging? What is the judgment that Ribbono Shel Olam is looking at? He's looking at, where is my creation holding? And if the purpose of creation is Yichud Hashem, then the judgment is on every person individually. What are you doing? What are you helping? What is your part in that purpose of bringing about the recognition, the realization of Yichud Hashem? How much a person, through Oyri Zur Rosh Hashanah, the Oyr of Rosh Hashanah, the Hashpas of Rosh Hashanah, the Tfilis of Rosh Hashanah, the Malchus of Rosh Hashanah, the Psukim of the Malchus of Rosh Hashanah, through the Hashpas of the day, the more shaychus that a person, and the more the person manages to connect to Yichud Hashem and to Malchus Hashem, then that person is bringing about the Tachlis HaBriya. And through fulfilling the purpose and the Tachlis of creation, then the Ribbono Shel Olam will judge that person and say, this person is helping the purpose of creation. And if so, that person can bring it about at Yeshua. Because the Ribbono Shel Olam, everything, when the Ribbono Shel Olam does bad things to us, it's only to help us to get to this realization and to get to Yichud Hashem. But if we don't need it, we can come to it on our own, then the Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't have to do anything. And through that, obviously, we can be Zoicha B'Din. A proof for this is the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, where the Gemara, Matisyon Solomon brings this proof. The Gemara brings a Braisa. And the Braisa says, why is it that the Ribbono Shel Olam says you should bring a Oimeh on Pesach, a Korban Oimeh on Pesach, because Pesach with Don is the Zman of Tzvua. There's a Din on Tzvua. On Shavuos, we bring the Shtei Alechem, because that's the Din on the Peiris Ha'ilon. And on Sukkot, we bring Nisuch HaMayim, because that's the Zman of Din on Mayim. And then carries on the Gemara and say, Malchus on Rosh Hashanah, Kidei Shetam Nichuni Aleichem. Says Ramat Yisrael Solomon, so you see from here that the din of Rosh Hashanah is also Malchus. Where are we holding in crowning the Ribbono Shel Olam and understanding Yichud Hashem? This is also something which we see in the slichas. This is the slichas of Erev Yom HaKippurim. There the Pizman says, the Ribbono Shel Olam is someone who doesn't take bribery. If the Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't take bribery, and I don't have any maisim, if so, I'm scared. If the Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't take bribery, and I don't have any maisim, so I'm scared. Says the slichas, now, by mentioning and remembering, Malchus Shem Amyuchad, Yichud Hashem, Val Zoysani Boiteach. That can give me bitochon, because through the koyach of understanding that the Ribbono Shel Olam, through Yichud Hashem, that's a way to be Zoicha B'Din. As the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, the Mishnah says, as Oivrim Lefonu Kibnei Moroim. And the Gemara says, very pshat, what does he mean, Kibnei Moroim? And the Gemara tells us one pshat, kechayolei shel beis David, like the soldiers in the army of David. So Rashi explains that according to that pshat, morim is from Lashon of morus. Explains Rashi, a general, he can order around his soldiers however he wants. He can do whatever he wants. So too, the Ribbono shel Olam, he can do whatever he wants. And this is something which the Daas Tfunas really explains. There's one more point in the Daas Tfunas. And the point of the Daas Tfunas is, and he says a few words, and he says, normally the Ribbono shel Olam works, v'hakol lefi reiv ha'maisa, says the Mishnah in Ovis. Normally a person is judged according to his deeds. Says the Daas Tfunas, Ukashu Rotze, but when the Ribbono shel Olam wants, ein l'choshesh l'chol ha'maisim, he doesn't have to at all look at a person's deeds. Umeitiv betuvay l'misha Rotze, the Ribbono shel Olam, if he wants, he can do good to anyone. Because the Ribbono shel Olam is such a kol yachid. He's a king that he's not mashubah to absolutely anything. He can do exactly as he wishes. And therefore, even if we're not deserving of a good year, if we come to Ribbono shel Olam and say, you Ribbono shel Olam, you can do exactly what you want. And if you want to give us a good year, you can. Then that is a koyach. That is a koyach to be able to do that. And that perhaps is what the nace is. The nace is that we could say to Ribbono shel Olam, even though we're not deserving, we don't deserve it, but nevertheless, the Ribbono shel Olam can do that. However, we daven to the Ribbono shel Olam, v'tzadkenu b'mishpat hamelech ha'mishpat. We daven to Ribbono shel Olam, v'tzadkenu b'mishpat. V'tzadkenu b'mishpat is the lashon of tzidduk, which means that it's correct. If we come to the Ribbono shel Olam saying, Ribbono shel Olam, ignore judgment, just do what you want, what's the v'tzadkenu b'mishpat? It's v'asemes in Parashas Masi. He brings the famous Gemara. Halacha is that a person leaves Ori Miklot, a person leaves Golus when the Kohen Gadol dies. And the reason the Gemara gives is because the Kohen Gadol, he's the one who should have made sure to daven that nobody should have been killed. Therefore, he's to blame as such. And then the Gemara carries on, and the Gemara says, the halacha is that if a person, the Gemara Din, that means a person kills when the one Kohen Gadol is alive, and before they paskin, before there's a Gemara Din, before there's a judgment, that he has to go to Golos, that Kohen Gadol dies, and there's and another Kohen Gadol becomes Kohen Gadol, then that person goes out when the new Kohen Gadol dies. And that the Gemara says, what do you want from the new Kohen Gadol? This person didn't kill when he was Kohen Gadol, he couldn't daven to prevent this person killing, he killed when there was the last Kohen Gadol. Says the Gemara, he should have davened that this person, the Gemara Din should be the Zchus. The judgment should be that he doesn't have to go to Golos. And asks the Sfasemes, what do you want? This person has done a Ritzicha. If he's done a Ritzicha, why should you daven? He's killed. He deserves to go to Golos. Why should you daven that his Din should be Nigma the Zchus? And he brings from the Chedush Arim, and somebody who knows Sfasemes very well told me that this is the only place in Sfasemes where the Sfasemes says, he brings something from the Chedush Arim and he says on it, Omar Bazeh Dova Niflo, he calls it a Dova Niflo. And he brings from Rabbeinu Manoach, the Beis Yosef brings a Rabbeinu Manoach. We say, during our Sesame Tshuva, we say, HaMelech HaMishpot. The king, the judgment. It's wrong. We should say HaMelech, the king, HaShefet, who judges. What does it mean, HaMelech HaMishpot? Says Rabbeinu Manoach, a normal person, when he judges, you've got a judge, and the judge and the jury given a judgment that the fellow, he's guilty. So what does the judge have to do? He has to pull out the book of judgments, he has to look out what does this person deserve, and he has to judge accordingly. He can't decide, if it's someone who's got some protection, he'll try and find, be a bit more lenient, but he can't do what he wants. The Ribbono shel Olam, when he judges us, there's no book of judgment that he has to pull out and look inside and start deciding, well, this is what this person is accused of, he was found guilty, therefore I've got to do this, this, and this. The Ribbono shel Olam is HaMelech HaMishpot. He is the one who decides the judgment. And therefore, whenever the Ribbono shel Olam decides a judgment, that is the correct judgment. Because the Ribbono shel Olam, he is the Kohen Yochel, he is not Meshubad, he doesn't have to keep to any rules or books. And therefore we can say, Ribbono shel Olam, you are HaMelech HaMishpot. You are the king, you are the judgment. You're not just judging, you are the judgment. And whatever you decide the judgment is, that is the very judgment. We can explain it a bit more with another Sfasemes in Parashas Vayeshanon, where there he speaks about tefillah. And the halacha is, you have to be Peseach B'Shvach HaMokim. You have to, when you begin davening, you have to begin with the first few brachas. That is saying the Shvach, we say the Shvachim of the Ribbono shel Olam. Why is that? Says the Sfas Emes. And he asks the famous question, what are we doing when we're davening? The Ribbono Shel Olam has decided this is supposed to happen, and if the Ribbono Shel Olam has decided that this is supposed to happen, then there's a good reason that that's supposed to happen. So what are we davening for? What can happen when we're davening? And says the Sfas Emes that that's what the first three brachas are. The first three brachas, by us saying the Shvach of the Ribbono Shel Olam, by us proclaiming that the Ribbono Shel Olam is a Kol Yochel, and the Ribbono Shel Olam can do whatever he wants, absolutely whatever he wants, if so, then when we turn around and we say to Ribbono Shel Olam, please do this, 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 then the Ribbono Shel Olam can, of course, the Ribbono Shel Olam can do what he wants. And this could be pshat in the stanza of the Slichas, also on Erev Yom Kippur, where we say, Pnei no el atlois. We say to the Ribbono Shel Olam, please, look at our afflictions, look at our sorrows, and not at our averus. And then we say to the Ribbono Shel Olam, tzadik tzoyakecho, we use that lotion of tziduk. Judge us, tzadik tzoyakecho, mafli plois. We finish off mafli plois. How does mafli plois come in? Why are we saying about the Ribbono Shel Olam these mafli plois? The answer is that is our koyach to say to the Ribbono Shel Olam, tzadik tzeyakecho. Tzadik tzeyakecho, when we ask the Ribbono Shel Olam to be matzdik, to make a favorable judgment on those who are crying out to him, it's mafli plois. It's because the Ribbono Shel Olam has that koyach. He's a kol yochel. He's a mafli plois. So that's perhaps pshat in the tour that we began with. We say to Ribbono Shel Olam, we ask the question, how is it that in one way we know there's such a pachad adin, and as we said from Reb Dessler, that it's a game changer Rosh Hashanah, and the seriousness of Rosh Hashanah doesn't exist at any other time. If that's the pachad adin, so we asked, how can it be that the Torah says that we are happy on Yom Tov, and we go and we have haircuts, and we cut our nails, and we eat and we drink? And the answer to that, we explained, is because it's only if one recognizes the severity of the situation, then through that, one can be zeicher to the nes, because the Ribbono Shel Olam only gives yeshuas to someone who's going to recognize there is a Ribbono Shel Olam doing the yeshua. And then we carried on, and we said that perhaps the way the nes works is, first of all, you have to understand how much a person recognizes malchus, the yichud Hashem, then that itself is a reason for a person to be zeicher to yeshuas. But even more than that is that the Ribbono Shel Olam isn't meshubad to any dinim, and the Ribbono Shel Olam isn't meshubad to any regular judgments. Rather, the Ribbono Shel Olam is a melech ha-mishpot. And may we all be zeicher to exceed the chesed of our good convention.